Amen. Amen. How many of you have been blessed so far this Sabbath? If you have been, let me say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As you know, we've been doing a series, and the series is entitled The Ultimate Love Story, The Battle for Your Heart. And this is the sixth sermon, I believe, in this series, or fifth sermon in this series. And we're looking at this morning. The sermon is entitled The Power of Love. The Power of Love. I invite you to turn me to your opening text in the Bible, to Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30, as we go through our Bible study here this morning. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Now, before we begin, how many of you tried, as we studied last time, that negativity fast? Let me see hands. Let me see. Oh, wow. Okay, good. So 10 days. Remember we did 10 days and we studied about what was God's character? God's character is, what is character? What is our character? It's made out of what? Two things. Would you remember what it was? Our what? Thoughts and what? Feelings makes up one's character. We learn from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. So God's character, our thoughts and our feelings, the only thing we're going to take to heaven are inside, not the external, but the inside, our thoughts and our feelings. So we must have negative thoughts or positive thoughts? Positive thoughts. So all that negativity has a goal. So in other words, we have to look what we behold, we become changed, right? So as we behold positive thoughts, what happens to our own thoughts? They become positive, amen? And good thoughts produces what kind of feelings? Good feelings. And good thoughts and good feelings is what we take up with us to heaven, amen? Nothing else. Nothing else. Good thoughts and good feelings. So now we did 10 days, and I've heard some of you say that some of you failed. Isn't it hard? Isn't it hard even to do like a cleanse? Yeah, a physical diet cleanse also, isn't it? There's so much negativity, and you hear it all the time. And to break a bad habit of negativity, isn't it hard? And that's why you have to fill it in with the Word of God, beloved. Amen? Positive thoughts, God's thoughts, sort of. So I might challenge this. You experience an experience, if you've succeeded, continue on. Because Daniel was tested 10 days, but he continued on, right? And those who failed, try it again, beloved. Amen? Are you willing to do that? If you want to give it a try, let me hear you say amen. Amen? Okay, let's try that again. And you're going to see the experience and the spirituality of the church this grow and explode here. Every single person has within their souls, their heart, a need, whether you realize it here or not. And today this need is recognized in this world as a cry for something more out there. Even though people have searched the world over, their heart still aches with the words, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Even though people have made a lot of money, their hearts still declare, I can't get no satisfaction. And even though people become popular and well-known, their soul still burns within them. We were meant to live for so much more. There is and always has been a longing in the heart, in your heart, for something better in this world. And that longing you have in your heart this morning, in your soul, is the calling and the voice of God to your heart this morning, beloved. He's calling you because he's calling you up some higher for something more, something better, something more in this world. And that calling is the promptings and the movings of the Holy Ghost upon you to come up higher for something better in this life. So this morning, as we hear God's calling of love to our souls, may we be able to truly respond. Let us pray. Father, as your word is open, we know we cannot understand it. So we ask for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Who are we to love? Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Notice the Bible says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love Who? The Lord thy God with how much? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, God would not ask us to do something in which the capability to do it was not there, true? In other words, God wants us to love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And if we do not love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, there is a void that happens within your soul, a hole in your heart, a hole in your soul that you feel is empty. Call it lonely, whatever. But it's a void within you. And we are called for so much better to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Who else are we to love? Look at the next verse in 31. The Bible says, and the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's none other commandment greater than these. You see, we're to love others as we love ourselves. You see, within each and every one of us, there's also built a desire, a longing to love others and to be loved by others also. Is that not true? And when we don't love others and we don't love God, there becomes a void within our heart, our soul, for something more in this life, something better in this life. You know, in modern science, it's a known fact. You remember in World War II, do you remember the experiments that they did? They had those monkeys, and even actually in World War II, they had babies that they fed the babies. Do you remember that? They fed the babies, they changed the diaper, they took care of all the babies. But the one thing they didn't give them was human touch, the human touch of love. Do you know what happened to those babies? Many of them died. Some of them were greatly stunted in their growth. See, God knows what we're made of. God knows what we need. Amen? He knows that we are meant to, so much more, we're meant to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we're meant to love each other. You cannot get away from that fact. You cannot run to the mountain. You can't run away from people. You can't run away from church either, beloved. God has called us and has given us the ability to love one another, and that He has given us a calling to love one another and to be loved by one another. And if you do not have this love, you will die. To love and to be loved this morning. Who does God the Father love? Let's look at another example. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 35 in your Bibles. John chapter 3, verse 35. Who does God the Father, let's look at another relationship. God the Father love. John chapter 3, verse 35. The Bible says, the Father loves who? The Son, Jesus. So now you have God the Father loves Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He loves that one direction. Now, who does Jesus love? Turn to John chapter 14, verse 31 in your Bible. John chapter 14, verse 31. Let's see what the Bible has to say. The Bible says, But that the world may know that I, Jesus, loves who? The Father. So, this relationship, God the Father loves Jesus, and Jesus the Son loves His Father, God the Father. Do you see that? This is an example of what true love is really all about. Now, according to these texts, in order for love to exist, true love, according to the Bible, there must be at least two people. Is that not true? You must have two people. And not only that, the definition of love is other-centeredness. Is that true? Other-centeredness. That is what love. God the Father was other-centeredness. He was loving His Son was other-centeredness. Jesus Christ loved His Father was other-centeredness. That is the definition of love. Now look at your handout here. This is what the definition of love is in the first one. So love, if it begins with oneself, it begins with yourself, and it ends with another person, that is what is called what? Love. Is that clear? Is that clear? Let me say amen. Amen? Amen. Now, sin is the opposite of love, because love is other-centeredness, but sin is, guess what? self-centeredness. Does that make sense? So if it begins with you, and it goes in that circle, it may go wherever it may go, but if it comes back to you, then that is self-centeredness, and that is sin this morning. If that's clear, let me hear you say amen. Amen? That's clear. So love begins with oneself, it ends with someone else, that is love. If it begins with yourself, and it goes, and it comes back to yourself, then that is sin this morning. Now, let's look at loving ourselves and loving others. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. Ephesians 5, verse 29. Now, we learn that we need to love ourselves, love others as we love ourselves, right? Ephesians 5, verse 29. Now, but do we need to love ourselves more in order to love others? You know how people say, well, we need to love ourselves more so that I pamper myself and baby myself and love myself more so I can have the ability to love others more. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, the Bible says, for how many men the Bible says there? No, is that 99% of all men or is that 100%? All. No man. So it's all. No man, automatically, no man ever, yet, hated his own what? Flesh. Life. No one has ever yet hated his own life. In other words, everyone normally has a love in a sinful human nature. We have a natural tendency to already love ourselves. Not only that, but the Bible says, but nourishing their life and cherish it themselves, even as the Lord does the church. Within every one of us here, there's a natural tendency to already love ourselves. So when God asks us to love others as we love ourselves, it's not saying to love ourselves more. We already love ourselves, the Bible says, beloved. Amen? What the Bible says is that we need to love others as we already love ourselves, beloved, this morning. And no one can do that because of our selfishness within our own heart, because we already selfishly love ourselves, right? Self-centeredness is love of self. So what God wants to do is wants us to see that without God, you cannot love others here this morning, beloved. Amen? Your sinful human flesh pulls you to send the love out to come right back to you. And so God wants us money. He wants you to understand that you cannot love others how God wants us to love others this morning, beloved. Amen? It's only through the grace and the mercy and love of God here this morning. Amen? And therefore, we already love ourselves. Somebody came up to me and said, well, and we're going to get more into this, but what about those who commit suicide? Why do they get depressed? Well, first of all, think about it. Those who get depressed, really what they do is they have a high esteem of who they think they are already. And because they don't reach that esteem, they become depressed. They don't reach up to the goals that other people make for them in their lives. They get discouraged. And the men or the women who commit suicide over another woman, because that woman rejects them, beloved, is showing the supreme selfishness of their heart, showing that if I can't get what I want, then I'm going to do the ultimate act of killing myself. There's a natural pride within all of our hearts here this morning. Now, who are we to esteem? Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Who are we to esteem this morning? Notice what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem yourself better than others. Is that what the Bible says? What does it say? Let each one esteem who? Others. Better than what? Yourself. So according to the Bible here, now we're just looking at terms. The Bible preaches or teaches here from the Bible not a self-esteem better than the others, right? But a other esteem better than self. Is that not clear this morning? Is that clear? Let me say amen. Amen? So the Bible is promoting a other esteem rather than a self-esteem here this morning. Now, I know there's many teachings out there that you need to have self-esteem. And we're going to get more into that. Now, you need to understand the difference between self-esteeming self better than others, comparing yourself, and self-worth, which is good. And we're going to get into that. So we need to have self-worth. Everyone within of us here this morning needs to understand how much we're worth. We're all looking for that. But we're never to use a comparison of using someone else that my worth is only based upon me esteeming myself better than other people. Me being better than you in basketball, right? Me being better singer than you. Me being more spiritual like the Pharisees and with more good works in church than you sitting next to me on the pew, right? Amen? Our worth is not based upon us comparing ourselves with other people. Our worth, beloved, we're all equal and on the same level in the sight of God as mine, beloved. Amen? The teachings out there in the world has permeated our church belief also in our teachings. But we are not to esteem ourselves better than others as a way to gain our self-worth. Then you ask, well, if that's true, then where do I get my self-worth from? Where do I get my self-respect from this morning? I tell you where we need to get it. From the Word of God this morning, beloved. Amen? Let's look to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And look at your handouts here as you're turning there. Look at the next quote, the first quotation from inspiration from the faith I live by. Notice it says here, every characteristic of selfishness, self-love, self-esteem, every act of self-indulgence will bring forth a like harvest. He who lives for self is sowing to the flesh, and of the flesh he will reap corruption. Where do we get our self-worth from, or supposed to get it from? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, notice the Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. In other words, you weren't purchased by this gold and silver or money. What were you purchased with? Notice the Bible says, but with the precious blood of who? Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, what you pay for is how much you value something. Is that not true? If you value something a lot, you're going to pay a lot of money for it. And Bible says that this morning that your worth is not based upon anything else. If you had one thing that you're worth this morning, there's one thing that you're worth is based upon what God did for you, and He gave His life. He paid for you by His very own life. In other words, you are worth the value of divinity itself here this morning, beloved. Amen? That's how much God values you this morning, that you, God looks at you and you are precious in His sight, that He would give His very own life so that you would be saved of. Can you imagine the very Creator Himself giving Himself up for the life, His life for the creature this morning? What a God we serve. Amen? What a wonderful God we serve. Now that's valuable, beloved. Our lives is expensive as is God is Himself this morning. In other words, we are to have a self-worth about ourselves that is in proportion to the life that divinity was given for you and me this morning. That's how much God loves you and me this morning. And our self-worth should not be based then upon us comparing ourselves, whether what we can do or how much money we got or what position we got or what jobs we got, but it's based upon this morning how much I know and you know God values your soul this morning, beloved. Amen? If you're basing your worth this morning upon comparing yourself with one person, what if you have a bad day and everything goes wrong that day? What happens to your self-worth that day? Doesn't it plummet? And then the next day, and then the next day, and you feel no one cares about you, and you get discouraged and distressed, right? But what happens if your self-worth is not based upon comparing yourself with others, esteeming yourself better than others, but based upon God's value for you this morning? Would that ever change? No. God is a merciful God this morning. You believe that? Let me hear you say amen. Amen? Now let's look at repentance. How did Paul define repentance? Acts chapter 26, verse 20. Acts chapter 26, verse 20. Now we're going to have to go back into what we learned in the last sermon to understand the next text. Well, the text following this one. Acts chapter 26, verse 20. How did Paul define repentance? Notice the Bible says. The Bible says, but show first unto thee of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to who? God, and do works meet for repentance. So repentance is turning to God. Now if you turn to, that means if you turn to something, you must be turning away from something else, right? Is that true? So when you turn to God, where are you turning away from? Self. That makes sense, right? So repentance is turning away from self to turning away to Christ. Now look at your next quotation here. That's exactly what the Bible says. Repentance is turning from self to Christ. So repentance is turning, this is sin and this righteousness, turning from loving self to loving Christ. Do you see that? Loving yourself, which is selfishness, to loving Christ. Now how are we to repent? Turn to Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Romans chapter 2 verse 4, and you know this is my favorite text. So as we've been studying this series, you already know certain things already. So we're going to break it down. So God's glory, as we learn in Exodus chapter 34, God's glory is His what? Give me some names we learn. What? Character. What else we learn? His name. What else? His goodness. That's His glory. His goodness, right? So we look at this text, Romans 2 verse 4. Despises thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Look at the last second half of this text. The goodness of God leads us to repent, right? Now God's goodness is His what? We learn. Glory, name, what else? Character. So we know that we learn in the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. So we know that the goodness of God's character, seeing God's character, right, of love, brings us to repentance. And we learned last sermon that character, God's character was His what? Two things. His thoughts and His what? Feelings. So seeing God's thoughts and seeing God's feelings of how He thinks about you, how much He loves you, will bring you to repentance, right, beloved? Amen? You follow me, right? Now adding it today, seeing God's thoughts of how I have only thoughts of peace, thoughts of love, not of evil, right, toward you. When you see God's thoughts toward you, and it's how He feels about you, it brings you to repentance. And repentance, we just learned, is turning away from loving self to loving who? God. You can only love Christ when you see how much God thinks about you and feels about you this morning, beloved. Amen? You can only repent. There's repentance that Judas did and Esau did with strong crying and tears, it says, but they never found it. Because there was a repentance that was not founded upon seeing the thoughts of God's love toward you and feeling the thoughts of God toward you that brings a true repentance of turning from loving yourself, which is selfishness, to loving God here this morning. Don't you want to see God and love Him this morning, beloved? Amen? In other words, before you can experience a love for Christ, a returning from loving self to loving God, you must first see the thoughts of God's love toward you and the thoughts of how God feels about you here this morning. If that's clear, let me hear you say amen. Amen? You must see it. You must look for it. You must search for it. You must seek it with all your heart. You must look through the Word that these are they which testify of me this morning, beloved. Amen? Every verse you look in the Bible, you're looking for a certain aspect about how God thinks, a certain aspect of God's thoughts of love toward you this morning. You must look at a certain aspect of how He feels about you. And that's the only way you're going to be transformed and experience true change in your life of loving God this morning. Now look at your handout. Just I made a couple diagrams here on the bottom of the first page. So if you see God's thoughts and feelings of love, we will turn from loving ourselves to loving Christ up there. If you see God's thoughts and feelings of love, we will turn from self-centeredness to other-centeredness. When you see God's thoughts and feelings of love, we will turn from selfishness to unselfishness. So I'm kind of just repeating different words. The next page. When you see God's thoughts and feelings of love, we will turn from sin to love this morning, beloved. Amen? From sin to love. Now, how are we able to love God this morning? 1 John 4, verse 19. 1 John 4, 19. Now, we all need to love God, which is true. But how do we love God? Notice what the Bible says here. We love Him, talking about God, because He what? First loved us. The only way we are to love God is by first experiencing His love for us first, right? Now you look at your handout here, Desire of Ages. The back page it says, only by love is love what? Awakened. You see, I've heard many people say, I need to love God more. I need to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. But you cannot of yourself force yourself to love God this morning, beloved. Amen? Only by love is love stirred, awakened. You cannot say, I know I need to love God with all my heart. Therefore, I'm going to try hard this week to love God. You cannot do it this morning, beloved. All you can do is see His love for you first. And when you see that love for you first, it will stir within you, awaken the love within you to come alive, to thus respond and love Him in return this morning, beloved. Amen? Many Christians fail over and over and over and over again, because they're going the wrong way. They're bypassing seeing the love of God for them, thinking that if I just need to do what is right, the external works, and then force myself or fool myself to believing I love God with all my heart and live this facade of a Christian walk, bypassing the whole foundation of what Christianity is all about, which is God's love for you that awakens the love in you to love Him in return, beloved. Amen. If that's clear, let me hear you say amen. Amen? Amen? Love, only by love is love awakened. And you look at the diagram I made below. It says, if you see God's love for you, it awakens us to love Him in return and then to love others. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will love others. You see, beloved, love is action this morning, beloved. Amen? Love is not even a sermon preached this morning. Love is action this morning, beloved. Amen? Love gives. Love does something, right? That is love this morning. It's not mere words, teachings, but it's action this morning. How do we get to love God? 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. Now think about this. If this is true, that, you know, we hear we need to love others, we need to love others, we need to love others. If we think that we can do it without first experiencing our love for God, so here we are, we love God, we love others, right? Before we can love others, we must first love God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments and be obedient and love others. But before we can love God a step further, we must see God's love for us first, right? Does that make sense? You see God's love for you first, you experience it first, and then He initiates, and then you take the next step by you responding, by loving Him back, right? And then you can love others, beloved. If you say, I gotta love others, like almost like you're brainwashing yourself, I gotta love others, I gotta love others. And it's just not happening in our churches. It's just not happening. You cannot force yourself to love others. But when you experience that love, and here's the thing, when you experience that love, then you can love others. Now, there's a difference between human love and godly love. You know, some say it's agape. But human love is, Jesus said, even the Gentiles love each other, right? They love them who do good to them, right? That's how the world does. Are we in a church that's loving those who love us, who do good to us? We're friends with those who do that good things to us. But the Bible says, if you experience the love of God to you and you love God, it is totally independent of how people treat you this morning. Amen? But if your love is dependent upon how people treat you, if they love me, I'm going to love them back. Right? Is that true love? And the reason we're living that way is because we have not experienced the love from heaven. If we experience the love from heaven, then my reason for loving someone else is not dependent upon them loving me, but it's dependent upon I knowing that God loves me and I love him. I'm going to love others because I know that he loves me this morning. He loves you this morning with all of his heart, beloved. Now, how are we to love God? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. If God, in other words, if you know God, you will love God this morning, beloved. Amen? For God is love. And knowing love will awaken love within you this morning. Look at your handout here. In Isaiah of Ages, it says again, to know God is to what? Love him. If we know God, we will love him this morning. And if we love him, we will be obedient and serve him this morning. And the fact that God's remnant church is sleeping in Laodicea and in sin and not loving one another is proof, beloved, that we have not experienced that love for God. Which goes one step first, we have not really known God's character. As we've been studying, as you look through the Word of God, every time you open this Word, you're looking for a different aspect of God's character, his thoughts and feelings of love, so that you will be transformed and changed to love him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love others as God loves you this morning, beloved. Amen? That is our commission as a church. And basically what God's Laodicean church is doing is trying to do what God has asked them to do in their own strength. Impossible. It is impossible to do what the Word says it will do. You have to submit to the Word to allow it to do what it says to do within your life, beloved. Amen? You cannot do what the Word says. You must submit to the Word to transform your life here this morning. God is love. You see, God is more than religious doctrines or moral regulations. God, the Bible says, is love this morning. And if we're serving God or others from another motivation other than love, then you will have a void and an emptiness within your soul. What are we to do then? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, what are we to do? The Bible says, behold, or see, what manner of what? Love. Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons and daughters of God. In other words, that's what God's commission is for us to do, is we are to behold. In other words, if you want this experience as a Christian, your responsibility as a Christian is this, to see the love of God this morning, beloved. Amen? See the love of God. If you see the love of God this morning, it will awaken love in you to love God and to love others. That is our commission, to see. And do you see this morning, beloved, my question? Do you really see the love of God? Have you seen it? That it transformed your life. It made you a new person. It's changed you. Love is action. It made you a new creature within Christ. Have you seen this love this morning? You know, I preached this sermon last week. Somebody came up to me and said, you know, Pastor, you're talking about this love stuff. But it's fear that makes us not do what is wrong. It's fear of the God's fear, the torment and going to hell, that I'm not going to go to hell. That's what makes me stop from not going and doing what is wrong and doing what is good. Of course, that is what God wants to do. He wants us to fear. He wants to be afraid and scared so that we don't sin. He's pretty excited, actually. And I said to them, you know what? How about you and your wife? When you ask your wife to do something for you, what is it that you want to motivate her to do something good for you? Do you want her to do something for you because she's afraid of you? She's scared of you? She's scared that you're going to get irritated at her? You're going to snap at her? You're going to get upset at her? Is that your motivation for getting her to want you to serve or do something for you and vice versa? Or is it really because she loves you, she respects you, and she looks up to you? What kind of relationship do you really want? He said to me, that's what I really want. I want her to do stuff for me because she loves me. She respects me. She looks up to me. And I said to him, that's exactly the relationship God wants for you also. He said, I agree with you, Pastor. I agree with you. I think what happens is that sometimes how we even live in our own homes, our own husband and wife, and the manipulation we use to get the other person to do things, is the same way we see God, isn't it? Or in relationship with other people. But that's not how God wants it. To use manipulation and guilt to get your spouse or your children to do what they want to do is not the biblical model what God wants us to do, to love one another, beloved. Amen? God wants us to serve Him because we love Him, not out of making us feel guilty or scaring us to death, though if there's a place for fear to wake us up, God allows fear to wake us up, and praise God for fear, amen? But perfect love, when you find out what perfect love is all about, what does it do? Not some, most, all fear. That's the ultimate goal. Yes, fear wakes us up, and many of us needed to be waked up this morning, beloved, amen? And some of us still need to be waked up, beloved, amen? So we're going to get some hardships in life to wake us up. And I praise God for waking me up. But it's not going to carry you. If you continue on your relationship of fear with God, that will last for maybe a few months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, and you're gone out of the church again. I've seen many people go through that. Your experience must come to the ultimate end of perfect love, casting out this fear within your heart, and that you're serving God completely out of love this morning, beloved. If that's clear, let me say amen. Amen. Everyone has a need to love and to be loved. And when this love is not fulfilled, we often tend to fill this void through other things in this world. And all of our covetous longings for money, power, or popularity is actually the longing of the heart for something more. What you're doing is you're not being filled by the love of God and loving others, that you start filling your stuff with all these other things in media, Hollywood, popularity, money, possessions, luxurious lifestyle. Whatever it means, you're looking for something better and you're trying to fill it with the things of this world. But what God wants you to do, He wants your heart to be filled with love this morning. And maybe this morning, your home life growing up, you never experienced this love. You are who you are because of your childhood. Maybe you never saw that love of a heavenly father exhibited to your earthly father. Maybe you never experienced that love of Jesus because you never saw it through your mother. Maybe you never experienced it in your home life or among your brothers and sisters. And it was a hard life, yes. But God wants to turn that life around, that miserable life maybe you had back then. Maybe you came from a divorced home, a single parent home, or whatever it may be. And you did not have that love in your home. But God wants to plant in your heart a love within your heart this morning, beloved. Amen. A love beyond human comprehension, a love that many people have not experienced, a love that cannot be understood. And that's what God wants for you this morning, beloved. Amen? It doesn't matter what your past is. God can plant that love within your heart and your soul and fill that void with His love. I want that love. How about you? Amen? I long for that love.
I desire that love. I want to see His goodness and how much He loves me. I look, every verse I'm looking, how does this reveal God's love for me? Before I used to look at the Bible as what I need to do and what not to do. You ever been there before? But now every text I'm looking at is, how does this text not only reveal what I need to and not to do, but how does the text reveal how much God loves me, beloved? Amen? So I can love within my soul will be stirred and awakened to love Him in return and love others, beloved. Amen? We're so conditioned and trained to think, see, and do. Isn't that true? Missing the whole point of the Bible. Just like the Jews. Here are they which testify of Jesus, right? Amen? And thus, I came to love you, and yet you killed me on the cross because you didn't even know me. You're searching the scriptures, you know all the Bible texts, you know all the prophecies, but you do not even know me. Have we not committed the same sin as modern Laodicea today in a modern Jewish church, beloved? This morning, we're made to love, and to be loved. And if there ever was a solution to this sin-stricken world, this is it. And it's called love this morning. This love is what we've always been looking for. This love is how we are to get that satisfaction. This love is so much more we were meant to live for. And beloved, once you taste His love, you long for nothing more. So this morning, if it's your desire to see God's love for you, so that you may love Him and thus love others, will you make a commitment to Him to see His love this morning? By spending time in His Word, looking for His love, talking to Him to reveal His love, and sharing that experience with others of love. If that's your desire, would you raise your hand with me this morning? Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 248. 248. Oh, how I love Jesus this morning, beloved. Amen? Oh, how I love Jesus. 248.